Today we have an icon of Catholic apologetics on the show. A real diplomat, you might say. An envoy. Yeah, we've got an envoy. Stick around. Let's talk about it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Habemus Papam.
Podcasting from a parking lot in the Woodlands, Texas, it's The Catholic Hack with Joe McClain.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope.
Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven.
The Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15.
Do this in memory of me.
Welcome back to The Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McClain, and this is episode number 65. Today we have a very special guest for you. Patrick Madrid. He is a true envoy, an icon in Catholic apologetics. I love his work, especially Pope Fiction, but Search and Rescue. Where is that in sacred scripture? Where is that in sacred tradition? I mean, he's just got a huge body of work. He's been in the game a really, really long time. He's got an excellent style of handling tough questions with such charity, and he really inspires me in doing apologetics. So I'm very pleased and excited to offer this interview to you as a special treat. Also want to break bread with Dr. Scott Hahn and share some news and views that are coming your way. Well, let's get started with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All praise and glory be to God Almighty. Heavenly Father, we come before you in humility, and we beg your holy mercy. We thank you, dear Father, for all the gifts in our life, all the graces and the blessings that you have rained down upon us. We understand how unworthy we are of any of it, and we thank you for all of it. We pray to be used for your glory, to be the pencil in your hand, the donkey that you ride today. Please, dear Heavenly Father, inspire us to live by grace and faith in you, to offer up our entire lives, to work tirelessly and sacrifice all that we have for your glory and for the grace of those who need it most. And so I offer up and I lift up to you, the listeners of this podcast, and I ask you to have mercy upon them. I want to pray especially for men who struggle with sexual addictions, with alcoholism or drug addictions or any kind of distraction, taking them away from the real focus upon serving you in this life, in any state that they're in, whether it's the vocation of marriage, the vocation of priesthood, the vocation of just being celibate and consecrated to God, just being a faithful man. God, I offer them up to you, and I beg that you'll rain down your protection upon them and your love. I want to ask you the same grace for all the women. Oh, Heavenly Father, help these women to be godly women, women who set their eyes upon you and never take them off, who sacrifice so much for their friends and for their family and for their children, for their husbands. God, have mercy upon them and bring them peace in their hearts and build them up, encourage them to continue on with the struggles that they have, to offer them up for your glory. I want to offer up all people who suffer disease, emotional strife, loss, debilitation, no matter what it is, all people who suffer, God have mercy upon them. Strengthen their hearts. Give them the grace to unite their suffering to that which our Lord Christ gave on the cross. Help them to see the beauty in that kind of suffering. Offering it up, especially for those who don't deserve it. encourage them to offer their suffering, especially for those who don't deserve it. I thank you, dear Lord, for the gifts that we have in community and fellowship and praying for one another. What a great gift you've given us in a family, in a church. Father, strengthen us and bring us together. Unite us under your one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I want to pray also for the Men's Day of Prayer coming up, as well as the Fullness of Truth conference coming up. God, may you rain down your love, and may many people be converted and their hearts convicted, and may they give the rest of their lives for your glory alone. I pray all this, and I seek your mercy and the intercession of our dear Lady, our beautiful Mother, who guides us to her Son, our Lord and our Savior, our God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, let's break some bread.
Jesus sees all of life as a teachable moment, and there's so much we need to learn. We must learn to pray. We must learn to suffer in a holy way. We must learn the meaning of justice and mercy. He has many lessons in this week's readings. Find out more next on Breaking the Bread. God is always teaching his people. That's the message of this Sunday's first reading. And what does he want us to know? That he cares for all of us. That though he is a God of justice, even those who defy and disbelieve him may hope for his mercy if they turn to him in humility and repentance. This divine teaching continues in the three parables that Jesus tells us in this Sunday's gospel. Each describes the emergence of the kingdom of God from the seeds sown by his works and preaching. The kingdom's growth is hidden, like the working of yeast in bread. It's improbable, unexpected, as in the way the tall mustard tree grows from the smallest of seeds. Again, this week's reading sounds a note of questioning. Why does God permit the evil to grow alongside of the good? Why does he permit some to reject the word of his kingdom? Because, as we sing in this Sunday's responsorial psalm, God is slow to anger and abounding in kindness and patience. He is just, Jesus assures us. Evildoers and those who cause others to sin will be thrown into a fiery furnace at the end of the age. But by his patience, God the Father is teaching us that above all he desires repentance and the ingathering of all peoples to worship him and to glorify his name as his beloved family. Even though we don't know how to pray as we ought, the Spirit will intercede for us as Paul promises in this Sunday's epistle. But first we must turn and call upon him. We must commit ourselves to letting the good seed of his word bear fruit in our lives. So we should not be deceived or lose heart when we see the weeds growing alongside of the wheat, truth and holiness mixed with error, injustice and sin. For now, he makes his sun rise on the just and the unjust, the good and the bad. But the harvest draws near. Let's work that we might be numbered among the righteous children of our Father, who will shine like the sun in the kingdom of God. This is Scott Hahn for Breaking the Bread.
Breaking the Bread is a production of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. If you'd like to receive written copies of Dr. Hahn's reflections on the Sunday Mass readings, you can contact us by email at staff@salvationhistory.com or call us at 740-264-9535. That's 740-264-9535.
All right, well, we have a wonderful interview with Patrick Madrid. That's right, Patrick Madrid. Right here on the Catholic Hack Podcast. How cool is that? Pinch yourself right now. Pinch yourself. It's real. It's going to happen. It's going to happen right now. So let's roll up our sleeves and let's dive deep. And let's get into the truth about apologetics, about the Envoy Institute with Patrick Madrid.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This school, when I sit, even just a little bit,
I get hit with the power that made the veil in the temple split. When I submit, fall on the floor and adore. Can't get enough, got to come back for some more.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
Sinner, every human immigrant can benefit in this school. Repent and commit.
Roger that.
As the incense rises up in adoration of the throne. Something happens to my wounded heart from all the love revealed and shown. Bright light Shekinah comes to my head to persist. To change and sustain the way I think it exists. To feel the bliss because my name is in the book of life's list. That's what happens when you sit in the school of the Eucharist.
Mr. Emmett, take her down. Make your depth 150 feet, 10 degree down bubble.
150 feet, 10 degree down bubble. Aye, sir.
Dive.
Welcome back to the Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McLean, and today it is my special honor and privilege to speak with Patrick Madrid. Patrick Madrid is the editor of Envoy Magazine, a journal of Catholic apologetics and evangelization. Since its inception in 1996, the Envoy team has garnered numerous journalism awards, including several first place awards in the Magazine of the Year General Excellence category from the Catholic Press Association. He also serves as director of the Envoy Institute at Belmont Abbey College. Amongst his other duties, like being a well-known Catholic speaker around the world, he is also an author of many great Catholic resources, such as Why Is That in Tradition? Answer Me This. Where Is That in the Bible? A Pocket Guide to Catholic Apologetics, Surprised by Truth, and one of my personal favorites, Pope Fiction. Not to mention Search and Rescue and many, many more. He is also the host of EWTN's Open Line Thursday. Patrick, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Joe. It's nice to be invited and good to be with you. I saw you a few weeks ago down in Texas, so it's nice to move the ball forward by doing this interview.
I really appreciate your time. It is a big honor for me. I mean, I feel like a kid in a candy store or a groupie. I really want to get trading cards of Catholic apologists, and you'd be
That's not a bad idea.
I want your rookie card. That's what I want. I mean, other people like baseball. I like Catholic apologists and speakers and theologians. That's just kind of my quirk, but, you know.
I don't blame you. I like them, too, and I could say that my rookie card from 20-some years ago would be a lot thinner and a lot less gray than the current card would be.
That'd be cool. But, you know, when I was going through my own personal journey towards the Catholic Church, you know, Pope Fiction really made an impact on me. You know, wow. I had been – I'm a convert. I come from the Catholic from the Church of Christ. And, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions in that particular denomination about the Catholic Church. And the Pope is one of the biggest ones. And so that book, as well as the EWTN TV series that you did in conjunction with that, really, really helped me out, helped me to shore up my own faith in the Catholic Church. It also helped me to be prepared to give that defense, that reason for the hope that lies within. And I've had many opportunities to do just that. And it's because of your great work and your resources that that have equipped me for those conversations. So thank you so much for that.
Well, thanks be to God, and it's nice to hear that. I'm glad to know that those materials were helpful to you, so thank you.
Well, I'd like to, you know, get started by hearing a bit of your journey. I know you're a cradle Catholic, unlike the majority of your contemporaries, you know, who are converts. You have always been Catholic, but have you always been a faithful Catholic? Or you know, talk to us about your journey.
Definitely. I was, as you pointed out, I was born into a Catholic family, raised Catholic. I never left the Catholic Church. And I can safely say without exaggeration, I was never tempted to leave the Catholic Church. I never found myself questioning or doubting any teaching of the Catholic Church. And I believe I've always had, from the time I was young at least, I had a conviction, a sense of certitude that the Catholic Church is the church established by Christ. It's not just one among many. It's not just one option among other Christian options, but it's the church. It's the church established by Jesus. Mm. And so I've never struggled with any of those issues that many people I know do struggle with. So I thank God for that fact. In my case, having been raised in a good, solid Catholic family, what I went through is not I would say it's not atypical. It's something very similar to what many Catholics and non-Catholics, for that matter, go through, and that is that I had an intellectual appreciation of my faith, but I didn't always live it in terms of my fervor or my commitment to being a good, strong Catholic, and whether it be in the moral life or being attentive to prayer. I guess when you get into your teenage years, a lot of the things that your parents teach you, they become a lot less important. And so for me, as I look back on my life, I'm really grateful to God that He, although He permitted me to go through a lot of stupid phases in my life, and my fervor was nothing to be happy about, and I certainly made use of the sacrament of confession quite a bit. Nonetheless, he kept me close to home, and he never let me stray too far. And so as I got into my adult years and I began to experience what I would regard as my midlife crisis when I was in my mid-20s, I hope it was my midlife crisis because I don't want to go through it again, but I went through a reconversion experience. I guess that's the best way I could describe it. And all those previous years of being lukewarm and at times, you know, flat out immoral and sinful, I began to have a deep sense of penance and repentance and trying to grope my way back to a relationship with the Lord that meant that I was really living according to my beliefs. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I wasn't robbing liquor stores or doing anything like that. I don't want to portray myself as some type of evil monster or something. But like everyone else, I had my run-ins with sin, and this is what I'm referring to when I talk about a reconversion experience, that I my heart was reconverted to a desire to live a virtuous life based on prayer and the sacraments. And while I never missed Mass on Sunday, or I never would eat a meal without saying grace before meals, I moved beyond those merely external practices of my faith, and I entered into a more mature way of living my life as a Catholic and knowing Jesus Christ and loving Him, and not only loving Him, but for the sake of loving Him, learning to live a better Christian life. Now, I don't by any stretch hold myself out. In fact, I have to laugh at the very thought of it, but I don't hold myself out as an example of a finished product or a paradigm of how to do it, because I still have to rely on the Lord's grace to be able to move forward in life. But I understand now what I didn't necessarily understand then as a younger man. And so my reconversion to Jesus Christ and my reconversion to a love for the Catholic Church is something that from that year forward, it changed my life, and it led me, although I didn't realize it at the time, it led me in the direction of doing the work of apologetics and evangelization full-time. So to kind of fast forward to the present day, my story or my approach to the whole idea of being a Catholic is coming from the perspective of someone who has always been a Catholic, but I've been very privileged, I would say, to be so well acquainted and have met and spoken to so many who came to the church, as you did, from the outside.
Right.
So that's really helped inform my understanding of some of the things and the dynamics that people go through as they approach the church, never having been a Catholic.
Right. Now, did you come from a large family?
I did. Well, large-ish, in the sense that my wife and I, we have a large family, I think by most people's estimations. We have 11 children, and I was the oldest of only 8 children. And I say only, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but when I was growing up in the 1960s in Southern California and into the 1970s, even 8 children was quite countercultural. So by the standards of the day, I did come from a large family. And I'm certainly very grateful to my mom and dad for not only being open to life as they were, but also for giving all of their energy toward the goal, the lifelong project of teaching their children the Catholic faith. I really owe them a tremendous, really an incalculable debt, because they gave me the two most important things in life, and that is life itself and the Catholic faith.
Wow. And what were your career aspirations before you decided you were going to become a world-renowned apologist?
Well, It's hard to remember exactly what I was thinking back then, but the best I could describe it is that early on, I wanted to be a rock and roll star, and I started playing rock and roll music when I was 14, 15 years old, and I was in plenty of garage bands, and then I graduated to bands that were more successful in playing small venues, and then the one band I was in for the longest time, we won a big battle of the bands in Southern California. We beat out, I don't know, 30 or 35 other bands or something.
Wow.
And so I had stars in my eyes, and I thought that I was on my way to becoming the next Paul McCartney. And little did I realize that, I and 100 million other guys out there with the same aspirations were all jostling for position, and it wasn't going to happen. But I had a lot of fun along the way. I enjoyed playing music, and I was, I guess I can safely say that I was spared most of the really bad things that go on in rock and roll music, you know, especially the drugs and that kind of thing. I never dabbled in drugs, and I never found myself getting caught up in a lot of that. But I think the other part of it was that I exited in my early 20s when it became apparent that, you know, I'm getting married, I'm starting to have a family, I have to grow up. Mm-hmm. So the music aspiration went out the window.
Wow.
Then I was working in the business world. I was in sales, and reasonably successful, and my goal in life at the time was certainly not apostolic. I just wanted to be very successful and make lots of money and have the marks of success that society deems to be important, you know, the big house, the big car, things like that. And that's kind of the mindset I was in when I had my reconversion experience, thanks be to God. And so from that point forward, I began asking God to show me what it is he wanted me to do with my life. And through a series of events that I didn't understand at first, but I look back on them with a kind of a chuckle at how God led me in this direction without even my realizing it, I discovered that what I really was being called to was to work in this area of the vineyard of doing apologetics, evangelization, scripture, some theology, that kind of thing. And now that I look back more than 20 years now in the rearview mirror, I can see that all of what I thought were my goals in life turned out to be nothing at all what God had intended.
Well, it seems to me you're still in sales. You're just selling a better product.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, I'm selling the real thing. In fact, I don't even have to sell it. It sells itself.
Right.
All
absolutely.
I have to do is show people, and that's usually enough.
Praise God. Now, you have a unique perspective. You've been blessed to travel the world. You've spoken to many, many, many thousands of different people from all walks of life, and I think your experience is one that we could really tap into. How do you see the future of young Catholics? Are they hungry for orthodoxy? Is it more of the same? Do we see evangelization? I mean, what do you think?
Boy, I have so many thoughts on it. It's kind of a kaleidoscope in no particular order. I'll say yes, they are hungry, but most of them are not even aware that they're hungry. They're dying of hunger and not even realizing that they're dying of hunger. We see in the world around us so many examples of young people, young whether Catholic or not, whose lives are a shambles, and they're caught up in all kinds of things that are utterly contrary to what Christ wants for them. And whether it's through television or the movies or music or the internet or all the different social and media structures that are out there that really do in many ways conspire to keep them in that spider's web, being trapped and not fully being free. Many of them are not even aware that they're trapped. And so a large part of what I see that I can contribute to, especially having a background as a dad, is to try to help these young people realize, number one, what their life's purpose is. And it's not about making money or having a big car or any of the other things that may or may not happen. You know, those things in themselves are neither good nor bad in themselves. But if they become gods, the false gods of success and consumerism and things, then those can be absolutely destructive. So first we need to point out to these young people, what is their identity in Christ? Why are they here? What is their purpose? And the Catholic Church in the Baltimore Catechism has a great answer, the answer as far as I'm concerned. The Catechism asks the question, why did God make me? And the answer is, God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this life, so I can be happy with him forever in the life to come. And although it's a very simple answer, it's not an easy answer. And the challenge is to get people to see beyond the many barriers and impediments that block them from seeing this truth, and then to show them not just simply what's there on the other side, but how to get to it. So building bridges so that people can approach the truth with their mind as well as their heart. And those bridges sometimes are built through scripture, through the facts of Christian history, sometimes just by reasoning with people and helping them see, this is why you should go in this direction toward God as opposed to away from him. So the tools, if we can use that metaphor a little bit longer, the tools of the trade are varied, but the purpose is always the same, and that is how do we help people get from where they are to where God wants them to be? And the work of apologetics and evangelization and theology and all these things, they're really at the service of doing that for not only Catholic young people, but people who are retired, young families, everyone in between. This is really a comprehensive goal to help all people, as many people as we can help, and along the way, especially to concentrate on those younger Catholics who are the future of the church. There are future vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. There are future married couples, and they're going to be the face of the Catholic Church in the not-too-distant future. So it's so important that we especially focus on trying to help them.
So you say the future is bright. Do you think apologetics is making a difference in the new evangelization?
Two good questions. I would answer them differently. I would say I tend to be pessimistic by nature when it comes to questions like, do I think the future is bright? I would say, no, I do not think the future is bright. I don't think the future is bright in the way that the early Christians, let's say those who were persecuted by the Roman authorities in the first few centuries of the church, they didn't regard the future as bright because they knew that they were in for more of the same. They knew that it would take quite a bit to change the status quo, and that between their time and the time that change would take place, there would be a lot of suffering and even bloodshed. So in that sense, no, I don't see society improving. I don't think that the world is going to suddenly come to its senses and say, oh my gosh, we've got to change. We can't do this. It's just, I believe that it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So we have to get better and better and better.
Right.
So no, I don't think that the future is bright in that sense. Mm-hmm. I do think, however, that the future is bright for those who are willing to give their lives over to Christ and to embrace the truth and who are willing to live the truth. I mean, it's one thing to believe it intellectually, it's another thing to actually live it.
Right.
And I think that maybe that kind of leads into your second question, and that is that apologetics, which is just one tool in the toolbox, it's not even the most important tool, but it's one of those means by which we can help to rebuild the lost faith. And I do think that for those people who are energized, whether it's because of something in an apologetics book or something like that, or for whatever reason, when they become energized and they realize that they have a role to play in the world, and not only that, but in the drama of salvation, that they throw themselves into it. Well, I think the future is bright there, mm-hmm. and I think that the Lord will gather to himself many people who would otherwise have lived meaningless lives. I certainly was on the road in that direction a long time ago, and I thank him for bringing me back to El Camino Real, the King's Road.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he is bringing many people back onto that road. Numerically, I should add one other thing here. Numerically, it really doesn't matter whether, it's 1 billion Catholics. It would be wonderful if it were, but it may be 1 million Catholics in our lifetimes. And we may see a tremendous decline in the number of Catholics. We shouldn't measure success by numbers, and I think that's part of the temptation of being in a Western, especially American, 21st century person. We tend to measure success by numbers, And if, you know, if a lot is good, more is better. And while I fervently wish that all Catholics were devout Catholics and really loved Jesus Christ and loved the Church, I don't think that's the case. And we shouldn't assume that just because we have freedom of religion now, and we have lots of parishes now, and we have a lot of Catholic artifacts, you know, within society in terms of church buildings and schools and things like that, there's no guarantee that those things will be here in the future. I mean, if you look at how the Muslim phenomenon basically swept away the Catholic faith that had occupied in the negative sense, like a military sense, but it was diffused throughout the Mediterranean world for 500 years before the rise of Islam, and it's gone now. Mm-hmm. It's all gone. So the countries such as Egypt and parts of Arabia, Syria, what is today Turkey, and so many areas of what we call today the Muslim world, they were thoroughly Catholic at one time and had been for centuries, and now they're all gone.
Wow.
So taking a slice from the history books and recognizing that although times change, people don't, we shouldn't take anything for granted. And we need to live, as the old saying goes, with a spirit of hoping for the best and preparing for the worst.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you're doing to equip the young or even guys like my age or older even is Envoy Magazine and Envoy Institute. Now, the Envoy Magazine is back. It did take a little bit of a hiatus, and it looks like it's as good as ever. The layouts look great. The content is wonderful. So why don't you talk to us about your work at Envoy Magazine, and then give us the goods on this institute.
Sure. Absolutely. First of all, for those who are listening who may not be familiar, Envoy is spelled E-N-V-O-Y. It's a French word, and it means someone who's an ambassador, somebody who's sent on a mission. Typically, it'd be a diplomatic mission. And so we wanted, when we named the magazine Envoy, we wanted to capture the essence of what it means to be an apostle in the modern world. You're sent to bring Christ to the world. That's our motto, bringing Christ to the world. And so Envoy Magazine's mission is to help Catholics, help the reader, let's say, because not all of our readers are Catholic. Most of them are. But we have a good number of non-Catholics who read the magazine.
Wow.
And the goal is to do three things. To teach the reader how to explain his Catholic beliefs more intelligently. Number two, to explain them more intelligently, to defend them more charitably, and to share them more effectively. And that's really kind of the three points, apologetics, evangelization, and catechesis, not in the same order, of course. And in each issue of Envoy, we try to take that sense of, like I was talking earlier, about maybe being pessimistic in terms of I don't hold high hopes out that the world is going to change,
right.
But I do have very optimistic hopes that individual people will change. And so the purpose of the magazine is to help them do that so that they can go out as apostles and be better able and more effective in helping to reach other people for Christ and bring them into the church and help them get to heaven. So to do that, Envoy Magazine relies very heavily on, I'd like to think at least, very, very well-written articles that are interesting, things dealing with apologetics, evangelization, scripture, the history of the church, the moral life, prayer, sacraments. It's very well-rounded, I would say. I know I'm bragging about it, but I can say so because of all the wonderful people who contribute articles.
Catholic Hack News and Views.
Where are you now?
I'm sitting in my office.
I doubt that.
Why would you doubt that?
If you were in your office right now, we'd be having this conversation face to face.
Pope John Paul's encyclical Familiaris Consortio spoke to the need for uniting families. Our society seeks to pull families apart, even going so far as to discount the needs for children to be with their parents. At HomeBiz Momcast, we seek to unite families through home-based business. Many Catholic families today work multiple jobs to make ends meet. Parents work swing shifts to keep from putting their kids in daycare, and in an effort to protect them from the culture's pull. But this, in and of itself, can wreak havoc on the family. We have found solutions through home-based businesses. We have a team of moms who earn significant incomes working around our family's schedules, and we plan to show you how you can do the same. We look forward to meeting you at homebizmomcast.com.
Be sure to stop by Patrick's website, www.patrickmadrid.com, to check out all the many resources, the wonderful resources Patrick has to offer. And send him an email. Let him know that you heard him here on the Catholic Hack podcast. That would be huge. Please do that today. For the rest of the interview, you're going to have to stick around for the next episode of the Catholic Hack, where we'll finish up our conversation with Patrick Madrid. Until then, you know, we have a lot of stuff going on that I've mentioned a few times already, but I want to mention them again so that we can all, you know, be aware of what's going on coming up this week. So please be in prayer about the Archdiocesan Men's Day of Prayer in Houston, Texas. That's coming up this Saturday, July 19th at the Catholic Charismatic Center in downtown Houston, Texas. If you're anywhere near the area, you need to stop by. And if you do, please come and see me and let me know you heard about it here on the show. So also, like I said, pray about that. Coming up in August, the 23rd and the 24th, is the Fullness of Truth Catholic Evangelization Conference in Arlington, Texas, featuring Dr. Scott Hahn, Michael Barber, Dr. Brant Petrie, Steve Ray, and the concert stylings of Eric Jenness. It's going to be a wonderful Catholic conference. This is going to be huge, in my opinion. I can't wait. I'm going to corner all of them, and I'm going to stick the mic in their face and make them be on my podcast. Well, maybe it won't go quite like that. I might try to be a little more charitable. All right, I'll grovel. All right, let me admit it right now. I'll grovel, but that's fine. Whatever. So long as I get them on the show, that's all that counts. And that's exactly what I plan on doing. That's going to be big. Those guys are huge to me. They forget more every day about the Bible than I'll ever know. And to listen to them teach is such a blessing. They're really, really good at it. So if you're anywhere near Arlington, Texas in August, please, please come by. You won't regret this. Stop by the Fullness of Truth website at www.fullnessoftruth.org. And there you will find all the information you ever need to know about what's going on at that conference, plus upcoming conferences in the region. We have one coming up in Houston, Texas in November, as well as another conference in Corpus Christi in March. Plus, next year, we're planning on San Antonio and Dallas again, and we're looking to expand to other cities like maybe Denver or Sacramento. Who knows? Let's pray to the Holy Spirit that he opens up doors and opportunities for us to bring these wonderful family conferences so that we can evangelize and build up the faithful so that we can all go out there and reclaim the faith for Jesus Christ, reclaim this country for Jesus Christ, transforming hearts and society all at the same time, all for the glory of God. So please keep that in prayer. Don't forget, we've got a Catholic Hack t-shirt giveaway contest going on right now. We have laid down the gauntlet. Are you up to the task? Are you prepared to dive deep? Right now, I want you to give me a call at 713-568-6277 and let me know if you can find, tell me, three types, three symbols, three signs from the Old Testament, specifically from the tabernacle, the temple, that point us to the Trinity. You can do this. You can do this. I know you can. I want you to dive deep. Dig in there and find the Trinity in the Old Testament. Then give me a call at 713-568-6277. And in exchange, I will give you your very own Catholic Hack t-shirt. I know. This is the culmination of your whole life. This is what you've waited for. So don't wait. 713-568-6277. Well, that's going to do it for this episode, episode number 65, Patrick Madrid Part 1. Be sure to catch the conclusion of our conversation with Patrick on the next episode. I want to say thank you to everybody who has donated to the St. Ignatius Audio Series Project. I just am so blessed that many of you have reached out. We still have a long way to go for our goal of getting them onto CDs, but we are headed in that direction. If you haven't already done so, please do check that project out. I'm pretty psyched about that. It's sharing the early church fathers, sharing these early Christian documents with the world. Many non-Catholics are downloading these and letting me know, and what a blessing that is. I really think you'll be inspired by this. I think it will just get you all revved up and pumped about how Catholic the Church has always been. So please stop by the blog at www.catholichack.com. There on the top of the page is a banner where you'll see St. Ignatius being devoured by the lions. Click on that and you can register and download your copies for free. I do ask for a donation, but you know, you have the option of opting out, and I'm completely cool with that. But if you can't help, that would really go a long way. We do want to get that on CDs for a greater distribution worldwide. Also, be sure to check out The Stream with the Catholic Underground. It's a streaming radio station, and the Catholic Hack is blessed to be a part of that. And last but certainly not least, I really need your help on iTunes. I have fallen way back in the standings. So leave a review and subscribe by iTunes today. Well, until next time, I'm praying for you. Please pray for me. May God richly bless you. God bless.
SQPN, the best in Catholic podcasting.